And joining us by phone this morning is Cook County Hospital and Care Center Administrator Kimber Ralstead. Good morning, Kimber.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, Kimber, let's talk about a couple things because we had a hospital board meeting. But first of all, give me an update on the Hospital Commons Challenge.
Well, the Hospital Commons Challenge, again, is a program that is trying to promote good practices by organizations and for us to be role models out in the community. And there are a couple things that they're looking at. One is for all of us to encourage breastfeeding for new moms. We find that's a better start for infants. Two, for us to use locally sustainable food products in our dietary choices, and so we are working on that. And then the other one is the elimination of sugar-sweetened beverages.
Whoa, how is that going?
Well, you know, it got a lot of people really happy with me, I'm sure. But we have eliminated the sugar-sweetened beverages from our vending machines. So if people come here and say, why can't I get my Coke? We have a lot of other good choices for you, but we just don't have the sugar-sweetened beverages. And if you need it for a medical reason, the physicians can write the order, but we don't routinely stock that. So
yeah, so when was the last time a doctor ever prescribed Sprite for me? I can't remember that, Kimber.
Well, we actually have it. We have, you know, the electronic system, and so we have it as an order that they can order. Now, we do need to point out that this is not applicable for the care center. This is our residence home, so if you know, one of our 95-year-old residents wants to have a Coke, they get to have a Coke.
They can have pretty much whatever they want when they're 95.
That's right, and we do accommodate that. But on this side, and I think one of the comments from, for example, Dr. Sampson is he's seen a patient before that used to drink a lot of sugar-sweetened soda, and by eliminating that, it actually eliminated his diabetes.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I read a report yesterday from the World Health Organization, I think it was, a huge number of people that they, in one way or another, relate to deaths through sugar beverages.
Yeah.
I mean, in the millions. Worldwide.
Well, we're, you know, unfortunately, we, you know, sometimes moderation is a good thing. Sometimes we don't moderate, and we need to be good role models. So here in our organization, we are trying to be good role models. Not everybody's all appreciative of that, but you can get water in our vending machines. We have a variety of the diet beverages, and we also have juice, too. So we are trying to, like I said, be better role models and encourage people to think about those particular choices. And, you know, frankly, water is a really good choice.
Right. Well, water's, you know, I can remember in the days that people never drank water. Now that everywhere you go, somebody's got a water bottle with them.
I know, and so, it's a good thing.
Yes, it is. Say, listen, we talked last time about the effects of sequestration. Are you feeling anything yet?
We aren't yet. We have been told that effective April 1st, all of the Medicare submissions that we send, when we send it to get payment, if we were supposed to get paid $100, we will receive payment back effective on April 1st of $98. So they will take the 2% right off the top.
Ooh.
And so
that's not April Fool's either. That's
not an April Fool's joke at all. And we were told, you know, when we figured it out, we still estimate that it's approximately a $230,000 to $240,000 yearly impact to our organization.
Speaking of $230,000, I'm going to read this that you wrote this memo. It says Blue Cross would be transitioning our facility to an all patient refined DRGS based reimbursement for inpatient services and an enhanced ambulatory patient groups based reimbursement for outpatient services. Explain that.
In English, huh?
Yeah, okay. Do it in English for me if you will.
Back in 1983, Medicare went to a system called DRGs, or those diagnostic-related groups.
Okay.
And when a patient comes in, you know, we provide a lot of services, and they have a lot of diagnoses and things, and those get assigned various codes. You know, Teresa and Kathy and medical directors do this really great job of having to figure out, you know, kind of what's going on in the assigned codes. And then what Medicare has is kind of a system that will then group those codes, take those codes, and assign it to a DRG. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, DRG 89 is simple pneumonia.
Okay.
And so, you know, if that person comes in with that code, We don't, because we're a different type of hospital. When I keep talking that we're a critical access hospital, we're always paid on our cost. So regardless of what the person's code is, we, you know, it's not the same importance to us that it is to the big hospitals, because they get paid based on that code. And they get paid the same amount. So if you're a Medicare patient and you go in with simple pneumonia and you stay for 5 days, they know they're going to get paid, I don't know, it's about $4,000 some odd dollars. That's what they're going to get paid, period. Now, if you stay for 3 days, they're still going to get paid $4,000 some odd dollars. Okay, so it puts it into a group. And the same thing with this enhanced ambulatory payment group. Now what it does is somebody comes into the ER and they say, well, you had a broken leg. Well, it puts everything into a group. It bundles all of those services, and then that's how facilities, particularly the big facilities, get paid. We haven't had to do that. That's one of the things with the small critical access hospitals, is that they pay us on our costs, and they pay us as a percent of charge, because they say, well, you guys just don't have the volume. Mm-hmm. To be able to do this based upon just what those codes are. So that's why Medicare many years ago came up with this critical access hospital program. However, Blue Cross of Minnesota, and I'm sure many other insurers, are trying to get prepared for the insurance exchanges, be ready for the health reform, and they're coming and saying, well, we're going to change our payment methodology and how we've paid you. And we're going to take you from how you're doing it now, which is, you know, a basic system, and we're going to put you into this new system, which we have absolutely no experience with.
No.
None, because we haven't had to. It's not how we do it.
So they're going to do the Medicare, sort of like the Medicare thing,
yeah,
that you don't have to do?
Correct.
But now you do.
Well, for Blue Cross.
Yeah. So in other words, if I come in and I've got a broken arm and it costs you $300, you're not going to get $300.
Correct.
But why is that? Well, if I have a policy with Blue Cross, aren't I guaranteed some kind of coverage? And how's that going to affect me, or don't you know?
Well, how it affects is where we as an organization are coming back and saying, hey, wait a minute, Blue Cross. We can't do this, because this is pretty, you know, what you're changing not only is a whole way of doing business, and they're telling us they wanted, you know, first they wanted us to do this effective March 1st, and then they were saying, okay, well, we get you need a little more time, we'll give you to May 1st. Now, this
big
is a program that's been taking 3 years to work on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're figuring this is a reduction in reimbursement to the hospital from Blue Cross for my illness of $238,346.25. That's 10.6%.
Yeah, I will say that was the information Blue Cross gave us.
Yeah,
we can't validate the numbers. We actually think it's higher than that. We think it's going to be closer to between $300,000 and $400,000 impact to our facility.
Now you have to eat that if this goes through.
Yes. And what we're saying and why we're having the conversation with Blue Cross is that, you know what, if you truly do this to us and we can't come up with a negotiated rate, mm-hmm, we're going to have to become a non-participating provider.
Now, how does that affect me as someone who's insured by Blue Cross?
Okay. How that affects the patient is because now all of a sudden we become an out-of-network provider,
mm-hmm,
instead of an in-network provider. You can still get services here, but it's going to cost you as the subscriber more. Because now we're out of network, Blue Cross won't reimburse as much, and then we can actually bill the patient.
So you think they're doing this result of the insurance exchanges?
I think they are. I think they're getting prepared to try to be a player on the insurance market, and I think they have to. I don't begrudge them in saying, okay, we have to look at changing business, because we're all having to look at that. I tend to have a little problem with the timeline. And
yeah, it's pretty quick.
And, I also have a little problem with the fact that they really don't understand the small rural facilities, and they don't seem to be interested in wanting to negotiate with us, because the cuts that they're proposing really challenge our ability to sustain as an organization.
Well, you'd think that this insurance exchange thing would be pretty beneficial to insurers because, I mean, they're getting 50 to 100,000 more people.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they don't see it that way.
Well, but the problem is that if they're not cost, if when they do their cost and when they put it on the exchange, if they're not a low-cost provider, which people are going to choose them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what they're trying to do is to get their costs as low as they can. Like I said, I understand their business reason for doing what they're doing, but they also need to, one of their responsibilities is to make sure that they have services reasonably available for their subscribers. And either way, whether I am a not participating provider or that they have made choices that really, make it more challenging for us to remain an organization, either way, they're not making services reasonably available to their subscribers.
Well, if you were a betting woman, would you bet that this is actually going to happen, or do you think you can beat it?
Well, I'm trying. What I've done is I sent a 3-page letter to Blue Cross, and that's what we talked about at the board meeting. I shared that letter with the board and said this is what we'd like to send because we're saying we'll work with you, but we need more time and we need to negotiate a better rate and tell them why we need to negotiate a better rate. And I'm hoping that they will talk to us.
Well, the next time I talk to you, I hope you'll have the answer to that.
I hope so as well.
Okay, we've been speaking with Kimber Ralstead. She is the administrator for the Cook County North Shore Hospital and Care Center. Thank you very much, Kimber.
Thank you, Jay.